Welcome to the podcast of Reverend Daniel Agbesi. Reverend Daniel Agbesi is the founder and head pastor of Peacekeepers Assembly International, located at Kwabena, adjacent to the community hospital. Reverend Daniel preaches on righteousness, faithfulness, godliness, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. He is the epitome of a virtuous man. Now, let's listen to Reverend Daniel.
Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand. Say, I declare in the name of Jesus, in this month, God will perfect all that concerns me. So that impossible is becoming possible in my life. Say, God will perfect my Christian life. God will perfect my prayer life. Breakthroughs on every side is my portion. Everything I touch with my hands shall prosper. I am lifted above reproach, above every curse and delay. Say, I receive supernatural speed. I will finish everything I have started. I enter into the realms of the spirit, and I declare every negative word spoken to limit me, to stop me, to sabotage me, to betray me, I silence that voice in the name of Jesus. I declare by the power of God, no evil against me shall prosper. I am the one the Lord has shown mercy. I am the one the Lord has blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, clap your hands, resume your seats in heavenly places. Glory be to God in the highest. This is our month of winning standards. And throughout this month, we are looking at various standards that God has given to us in the body of Christ. Glory be to God. I think the first Sunday of this month, we had our nativity and festive Sunday. All right? I wish every Sunday we'll have that kind of feel. And the second week, we looked at the weapon of mercy. Okay. And then the third week, what did we look at? The wonders of favor. Amen. This morning, I'd like us to look at the audacity of grace. Audacity of grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, I read from the New International Version. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 9, in the New International Version, the Bible says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I take it again. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The audacity of grace. Praise be to God. It is not possible for anyone to be saved without the grace of God. You and I wouldn't have been seated together in the presence of God if grace was not available. The door we use in entering into God is always the door of grace. The ability to continue in God. You know, there are people who start serving God or who have given their life to God, but they are not able to continue in God. The ability to continue in God and finish your race happens on the platform of the grace of God. The Bible reveals that the enabling power we have to say no to whatever thing the devil will bring to us happens by the grace of God. The enabling power we have to say no to what is ungodly. The enabling power we have to be able to overcome life's limitation is made possible because of the grace of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 in the New International Version. Titus 2, 11 and 12, the Bible says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men. So there cannot be salvation outside of the grace of God. Nobody can receive God's gift of salvation when the person is not visited by the grace of God. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That is grace. Say grace. Grace reveals the ability of God to save us from the world of darkness and draw us closer to God. The scripture we read said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. I pray that the grace of God will enter your life. I say, I pray that the grace of God will enter your life. There are many people, they don't know how to receive gifts. When you shout amen, a gift will enter into your life. Grace is the gift of God to mankind. The totality of God's grace, or the totality of God's gift, is captured in one man, and that man is Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus on the earth was the introduction of what we call grace on the earth. The day Jesus came on the earth, that was the beginning of grace being available to mankind. Is somebody hearing me at all? And that grace is available this week for you to enjoy company that is in the name of Jesus. Many people who refuse to accept the gift of God, even the person of Jesus, are cut off from the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Once you will not accept the gift of God, once you will not embrace the grace of God, you have cut yourself from the supply of the goodness of God. The grace of God brings freedom from the oppression of Satan. The grace of God is the lifter up of our heads in this crooked world. The grace of God is our escape from the limitations that all men suffer. The Bible says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will by himself restore you. I speak restoration over your life. The God of all grace will by himself establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. I prophesy, may the grace of God enter into your life. By the grace of God, be restored. Be established. I declare, by the grace of God, may you be strengthened in your inner man. By the grace of God, I prophesy, may God settle you through and through in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, shout and believe in amen. Amen. Jesus introduced the grace of God to us. Before Jesus came on the earth, there were other dispensations that came. A dispensation simply means a system or a scheme that occurred at a particular time frame. The confusion of many Christians that we have in our days is because many Christians want to associate with certain dispensations that God has not planned for them. Hello? There are seven dispensations. Five of them came before Jesus came. I'm going to run into something very powerful this morning. There are people, they want to agree with certain dispensations that God has not planned for them. Grace is a dispensation, and you and I, we are in the grace dispensation. Before the grace of God, there was the dispensation of innocence, where Adam and Eve were living in the garden without sin. That was a dispensation of what? Innocence. Then from that, we have the dispensation of conscience, where God will judge people because of what is happening in their conscience. You see, you can never say that because you did not know God, you did not know the difference between bad and good. Because of your conscience, in those days, God judges people by their conscience. And then we entered into the dispensation of promise that started with Abraham. So God said, okay, this of human government. So
people began to rule because they allowed somebody to rule them. So we have monarchs, we have judges, we have rulers that were ruling in those days. So we call them the human world, government. And then we have the dispensation of the law that started from Moses. So let's start the dispensation of innocence for those who are writing. That's what we want. Adam and Eve in the garden when they live without what? Sin. And then we have the dispensation of conscience, where God judges people based on what is happening in their conscience. They know the difference between good and bad. Even when you give birth to a child and the child is even crawling, that child knows that what it is doing is bad. So when it's not doing something that you are proud of, you can see it on his face that is what you are doing. You know it's bad and you are doing it. So when a child is born, that child has conscience. Then we have the dispensation of what? Promise. Where God will pick Abraham and speak life into him and say, Abraham, if you follow me, these are the things I will do for you. That's a dispensation of promise. And then we have the dispensation of human government, where God began to raise rulers, monarchs, judges. And then we have the dispensation of the law, and that came through Moses. And this particular dispensation lasted over 2,000 years. And now, when Jesus appeared, came the dispensation of the grace of God. And that is the dispensation we are in now. We are in the dispensation of the grace. And the last dispensation will be the dispensation of the millennium. And that one will start when Jesus comes back again, not as a child, but as the King of Kings. And when he appears, he will rapture the church. That will be the dispensation of the millennium. Is somebody hearing me at all? Are you following so far? So we are in the dispensation of grace. What is grace? Grace is the help of God manifested in the limitation of man. There are some things you can do. There are some things that come to you with ease. There are some things you don't even pray before doing them. But because you are a human being, you have limits. When the help of God begins to make manifest in your limitation, we say grace has found you. Acts chapter 26 verse 22. Acts chapter 26 verse 22. Paul the apostle speaking said, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great. I just want to stop there. He said, I have obtained help. That is why I am standing. You see, you can only stand in this generation when grace has located you. I pray that grace will locate your life. When you shout amen, grace will locate you. What is grace? Grace means God's saving power. God's saving power. You are in a crisis. You don't know where help is going to come from. Then suddenly a power snatches you from what looks like shame and plants you in a place of fulfillment. You have just experienced the grace of God. May you receive the grace of God. What is grace? Grace is God's hidden ability behind the show of a man. God's hidden ability behind the show of a man. Anyone you see great in life doing marvelously well, that person has a hidden force. There is a power backing that person, and that power is called the grace of God. Is somebody hearing me at all? That power is called what? The grace of God. No matter what you want to achieve in life, once you look up to somebody who is already excelling, it looks like the person is having it very easy. It looks like this thing that people are struggling. How come he or she keeps hitting the mark? That person had a hidden secret, and that secret and power is the grace of God. The other day in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9, the Bible spoke about Zerubbabel, who happened to start the foundation of a temple. Then he suffered a lot of oppositions. How many of you have started things that you find it difficult to continue before? Give me a wave. All right. There are real people in this church. You started something and some way, somehow, no matter how you want to get it or put it together, it's not working. It happens to all of us. Some of you may be relationship. You don't know where to hold for the relationship for this thing to be put together. Any technique you use, because of that, you've watched a little bit of telenovela. You have watched Andrew. But still, nothing is working. You've read many books. You've read books on temperament. You've read. But you can't just help yourself. This guy is just crazy. So Zerubbabel started the foundation of a temple. He was suffering opposition. He saw the opposition like a mountain, but the grace of God in him spoke to the mountain. He said, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before me, Zerubbabel, before me, Daniel, you shall become like a plain." Is somebody hearing me? Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shout. The capstone is an indication that the project has been completed. And then people will begin to shout, "That is grace. That is grace at work." Is somebody hearing me at all? Verse number 8. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying," verse number 9, "the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it." I came to prophesy the grace of God that causes one to start a thing and is able to continue and finish it. I speak that grace upon your hands. Any good thing you have started, get ready. You will continue and you will finish it. When you shout him in grace, it's your portion this morning. Shout him in like thunder. Anything you have started, I stand as a prophet of God and I speak into your destiny. You are receiving the grace of God. You are receiving the hidden power of God. That which causes one to start something little and something comes upon it and it begins to grow despite economic hardship, despite the approval of his friends. I see that grace coming upon you. You shall move forward in the power of God. You shall excel in everything you have started. Any good door that you are not open up by power, but by the grace of God, receive that fire this morning. Grace is invading your life, grace is invading your business, grace is invading your marriage, your relationship, and that which is impossible with others, it shall be possible with you. Receive the grace of God, receive the power of God. Come on, shout amen like thunder. Hallelujah.
A lady gave a testimony. Our sister who is in Kenya schooling, Jennifer. Jennifer invited a friend of hers on the Morning Dew platform. And according to this friend, she joined on Wednesday. The Friday will be the anointing service for Divine Speed, Zoom platform. And so she was waiting for Friday. Because according to her, she calls this auntie of hers in the United States of America for help. But she will never pick the call, she will never return the call. When she was waiting for Friday, grace located on Thursday. The auntie that she's been calling for donkey years, the auntie now called and acting all nice as though she has never seen a missed call. He said, "How can I send you money?" He said, "Oh, the miss is not on campus." Then she said, "I have friends in Kenya. I'll send your money to them. I'll let you know how much they'll bring it to you on campus." Now, this lady who has received the visitation of grace told Jennifer to tell me that when I am declaring, I should not only say your marriage, your business, but I should say your education, because many of them need grace in their education. I prophesy over your life. Any area of your life you need the grace of God, receive that visitation. Receive that grace right now. In the name of Jesus, shout, "I receive grace." Shout, "I receive grace." Clap your hands and celebrate God. Oh, hallelujah in the highest. On Wednesday, our sister Barbara called me and she shared a testimony with me. She said, for close to 1 month, she had this severe back pain. She went for massage therapy. It didn't work. She now takes certain drugs. She's not seeing any positive sign. So when she drives, she puts pillow at her back. God, the pain is so excruciating. But during the Morning Dew prayers, I don't know whether God has shifted from here to Morning Dew. She's a cold on her back and the pain.
How on earth will I know in my room that she has a back pain, but grace knows it? I don't know, but grace knows it. In any area of life you are suffering, I stretch my hands over you and I declare the grace of God. Receive the grace of God. Receive the grace of God in the name of Jesus. Shout, that is my portion. Now hear me. Since creation, God has never dealt with man according to man's level of weakness. So God is happy about me on Sunday because that's when I worship. But Monday looks like God is angry with me. Throughout the whole week, God is angry. God never deals with you according to your level of weakness. God has never dealt with man according to his degree of effort in trying to serve him. God is not like that. God, since creation, never want to be known as a God who will see your labor before he will do something for you. God did not create labor for man to earn salvation through labor. God wants every man to depend on his grace in order for him to succeed. For him to succeed, this is the time to embrace the grace of God. You see, that akpa moves. You know akpa. Like, you are very calculative. You are very manipulative. Something stronger than you will stop you. The fall of man was what introduced man to labor. Labor is when you are doing it without the grace of God. When you are doing anything in life without the grace of God, I just want you to know that you are laboring. You are just laboring. God wants to be known as one who is gracious. A man who deals with every man with a touch of grace. From the beginning of time, even in the Garden of Eden, how God responds to man was from the place of grace. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, even before they rebel against God, the Bible made us to understand that God is that man who will come frequently, even in the cool of day, to visit them. He is God, he is a creator, but he does not sit in a certain palace and expect you to come. God is the one who comes to you for you to have a chit chat. And so one day Adam and Eve rebelled against the instruction of God. We saw this same God, knowing very well what they did. He said, Adam, where are you? I'm looking for you. And I said, me, I'm hidden. He said, no, come out. Did you eat of the fruit from the tree that I asked you not to eat from? He said, no. It was the lady you made for me. She gave it to me. And I was looking at God. I was looking at his response. I was looking at how he will react. But I saw that the Bible said Adam and Eve were naked and they were ashamed. So God had to kill an animal. And as a first time fashion designer, I think the first profession in the Bible, apart from creation, is fashion designing. God made a tunic, an attire from the skin of an animal for them to cover their nakedness. Though they rebelled against him, he responded with the arm of grace. Is somebody hearing me at all? He said, as for the punishment of sin, you set it rolling. Because any soul that sin will surely die. I'm not the one who caused that. You set it rolling. But from me to you, my grace. God looked for them. God covered them. Is somebody hearing me at all? That is the grace of God. And also in the case of Cain, the brother, God first of all came and said, hey, the way you are going, sin is close to your door. You have become, something is entering your heart. It is called an evil eye. An evil eye is an eye that makes people to be jealous or envious of their neighbor. When they came to church and God accepted, it was bitter and brother. Cain killed Abel. And God went to Cain and said, where is your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Very cheeky answer. I thought that God would just release some panda beak, some stone be to hit the head of Cain. But God was still gracious. Because he wants you to know that he's not looking for reasons to destroy you. But he's looking for every reason to make you stand tall in your generation. And God spoke to Cain and said, the reason I'm asking about your brother is that the blood of your brother is crying out from the ground. And the blood is cursing you. It's cursing you that forever and ever you'll be a future born on the earth. You will not have any. When people to help you, you cannot help.
Genesis chapter 4, verse 11. Okay. So now you are cursed from the ground which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Verse 12. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. So God said, that is the reason I'm having this convo with you. In case you don't know why you are reacting, I just want to help you. We are going to verse 16. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Then God said, still, I want to help you. I am the gracious God you have killed. Ideally, you should also be killed. Surely, he said, my punishment is greater. So you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me, because my hand is full of blood. Anyone who sees me, they will just react from me. Many of you are condemning yourself because of some things you have done. You yourself, you are condemning. You are helping the devil to make you see yourself like a killer. You see yourself, you condemn yourself. And Cain said, anyone who sees me will try to sabotage me, will like to take my life. Go ahead. Verse number 15. But the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. What a gracious God. A man who has killed, sister, I don't care what you have done. The Lord said, I am gracious towards you. This morning, I see the arm of the Lord spread out. If only you embrace, I see that you shall be exempted from every family curse, from every reproach, from every shame. Come on, shout yes. The Lord said, you are speaking the judgment. Your brother's blood wants you dead. Your brother's blood is cursing you. But I am telling you, anyone who touches you, vengeance sevenfold will fall upon a person. And God said, I'm going to put a mark on you that you'll be untouchable. You'll be untouchable. Therefore, and the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. And the Bible said in verse 16 that Cain left the presence of the Lord. But even though he left the presence of the Lord, the grace of God didn't give up on him. How did I know? Because even though he left the presence of the Lord, grace empowered Cain to establish a city. A man without grace cannot build a city. People who have gone to school cannot build hen coop to raise one fowl. But this is a man who the Lord has pardoned. It does not matter how you see Cain, but he has built a city. I don't care how people are seeing you, how they write you off, the way they look at you. Fear a man who has had the grace of the Lord. I see you about to build something that nobody has built in your family. Shout, I counter the grace of God. Come on, shout, I counter the grace of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Cain knew his wife. Another service, I'll tell you why there are other human beings on the earth that Bible did not mention. This is not a service for that one. The day you not come to church, I'll talk about that one. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. The grace of God did not give up on him. Lift up your right hand. Sister, I speak into your life. My brother, I speak into your life. Where others are failing, grace will not fail you. From now to the end of the year, I see you accomplishing what you couldn't do in the past month in the name of Jesus. May the grace of God fall upon your life. Receive the grace in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the preaching of God's word. God's approach toward man is with the attitude of grace. Grace is a law in the spirit that overrides any other law. Praise be to God. Genesis chapter 6 verse 8. The Bible said, and Noah found grace before God. God said, preach. I want people to repent, because the wages of sin is death. The cup of their iniquity is attracting different spirits in the spiritual realm. Because where sin matures, calamities and pain is what happened. Any community that the gospel does not enter, you see all manner of wickedness. How the heart of man is becoming desperately wicked. Preach to them that they'll repent, else a flood will come and eat them. And everyone was laughing at I am Noah. That here, the sea is not even close. We don't have sea around this place. And they saw Noah building an ark. Noah preached one sermon for 120 years. That is how God can stretch his grace for mankind. And as if that was not enough, after the flood, Noah is an alcoholic. He got drunk and left himself naked. And his son came to see his nakedness and composed a heap-like song. And the Bible said, when Noah woke up, he knew about it. Why? Because he was a prophet. And he cursed his son. And the Lord still honored his word. Why? The man found grace before God. He found grace. He's an alcoholic. He has an alcohol problem. But the power of God is still in his mouth. Anything he says, God will honor it. Are you still there with me? The grace of God came upon Abraham with his wife, and he was serving the God of the Chaldeans. He was serving the sun and the moon, and the guy was devoted. God himself walked to him and said, oh boy, the way you serve this God, you want to make me jealous. Come and serve me. When you serve me, I'm going to make you a man of many nations. The devotion was so nice. The guy was just dedicated. So grace found Abraham. God brought him from the land of the Chaldeans and made him a man of many nations. Put a promise on his life that anyone who believe me like the way they believe you, they will chop from your account. An idol worshiper in the house where there is no intercessor, grace found him. He said, I came to let you know, it does not matter how your background is crooked, once grace locates you, you will be the best. I say you will stand out. I see the grace of God that separates a man from a crooked background, a woman from a crooked background, coming upon your life, and you will do the unimaginable. Come on, clap your hands to the preaching of God's word. Shout, I found grace in the name of Jesus. Many people have the argument that God blessed Abraham because he had the covenant of circumcision. But Moses proved to us that even though his son, Moses' son, was not circumcised, God was still using him. There are people, anytime they want to talk about your blessing, they want to attach it to something. But God wants you to know that he can bless you regardless. That is how grace is audacious. That is why in your class, the people you attended SS with, those who look like their future is bright, is still bright right now. Those who were overlooked, those who look like they don't have tomorrow, not even next week, they don't have tomorrow, surprisingly they emerge. That is the grace of God. I came to speak the goodness of the Lord upon your life. It may be that your classmates, when they are counting, they don't count you. But after today, you shall be counted. I say you shall be counted. Come on, shout yes. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24 to 26. The Bible spoke about Moses when grace found him and God was using him. And the Bible said one day God appeared to Moses and wanted to kill him because Moses is refusing to circumcise his own son. And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. Verse 25. Then Zipporah, the wife of Moses, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. Which stands to reason that even though Moses did not even fulfill the covenant of circumcision, grace was still upon his life, and he is doing what many people cannot do. Galatians chapter 3, 5 to 7. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Go ahead. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7 says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. You are a son of God. You are walking in the order of Abraham, in the order of an idol worshiper who found grace with God. Is somebody hearing me at all? Those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 8, go ahead. So the blessing of the Lord fell upon Abraham on the platform of grace. Through faith. Faith is a factor. It's a function of what? The grace of God. How did the blessing of God come upon Abraham. Let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Let me show you how the blessing of the Lord came upon Abraham. Abraham lied. It was a lie that Abraham told. And God worked through the lie. It's a blessing. Charlie, those of you who think you can calculate God, and you want to do everything outside of the grace of God, I know those people are not here today. I see grace about to use you to blow the minds of people. The Bible spoke about Abraham here that he went into the land of Gerar. And at an old age, Abraham's wife, Sarah, Bible says she's so beautiful that even the king desired to say, who is that babe around you? Then the king said, Abraham said, that is my sister. And the Bible said, for fear that they will kill him. The wife was so beautiful. May God cause you to marry a beautiful woman if you are a man. I want the amen of the men to be very loud. The guy's wife was so beautiful that he was afraid they will kill him and take his wife. So when they asked him, who is that babe? He said, that is my sister. The king, out of ignorance, took the sister. And at night, when he was brushing his teeth to bath and apply powder, the Bible said, and the Lord came to him and said, Abimelech, you are a dead man. He said, what have I done? He said, you have taken someone's wife. He is a prophet. He said, because of what you have done, you must look for Abraham to pray for you. And before you go to him, divide your goods into half and give him a king's wealth. Divide it into two and look for Abraham. Kneel down before him for him to pray for you, else you are a dead man. How can you put this? Someone's error, because he's a man who finds grace with God. God even turned the error into a prophet. Put your right hand on your head. Shout, I receive grace. Shout, I receive grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, open up. Indeed, you are a dead man. Because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her. He was planning to, And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Well, Abimelech represents a nation. Did you not say to me, she is my sister? You see, grace is by us. When grace is on your life, those who are more clever than you, some way, somehow, grace sets you above them and they don't understand. That is why a lot of them are angry. They are angry because the thing doesn't make sense. Because you in school, they sack you for school fees 15 times before a term will be over. The day they are coming, everything is paid. How come that you, every day you are taking picture, you are smiling? They, when they take the picture, they can't post it. Because when they see there's no grace on the picture, they look like Gold Coast currency. There is no grace. But look at you. In all this, when you take pictures, you now you feel your body. Shout, I receive grace. Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. Verse 6. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. So it was God who applied, who blew the whistle, else the guy would have fired the thing. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Verse 7 says, now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Verse 8. And Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all the things in their hearing, and the men very much afraid. Verse 9. When you continue to read, Abimelech called him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done this to me. The guy started complaining. Verse number 10. Now how come there is money, $1 million in your room, and then you have some pounds in your room? How come? Why can't you didn't tell me that you have $1 million? The guy started complaining. The guy divided his goods with his servant, gave it to Abraham, and said, never step your foot in this country again. Hallelujah in the highest. That is how Abraham came into wealth. He lied. You are walking with God and you are lying. He lied to save his own head. But God saw that that is a limitation of man. Some people, they lie not because they want to lie, because they are afraid of shame. They are afraid of reproach. They have to lie. Even because any company they go to, they say you need 5 years of work experience before we employ you. So he wrote a company's name and put his own sister's name on it as the MD. That I have worked with them 4.5 years. The MD, they changed the sister's name. So the company that wants to employ them will call. Hello, is this Golden Milk Ventures? Nehi. This is the PA of Golden Milk. We are looking for the CEO, right? He said, okay, hold on for the CEO. Then your younger sister will give it to your elder sister. Say, barrister Sylvia talking. So, oh, barrister, the Lord bless you. Then he said, we have an diabetic in our office saying that he has worked with you. We want to know whether, he's been of good service to you. Oh, that guy, we miss him. His capacity, we cannot be able to pay him anymore. You have to lie just to get a job. This guy lied. He lied. You are looking at, I'm preaching the word of God. You saw it, didn't you see it? But because grace was upon him, it brought out benefits. I'm just telling you, even in your weakness and your limitation, grace will never give up on you. Amen. I see the grace of God speaking for you. Amen. I see the grace of God working for you. Amen. Come on, shout hallelujah in the highest. Grace protects covenant people. Once you enter into covenant with God, his grace will polish you, lift you, and enlarge your importance. The dealings of God with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and throughout every generation, was founded on grace. God one day spoke to Abraham and said, your descendants, by then you'll be dead and gone. You give birth to Isaac. Isaac will give birth to a guy called Jacob, and his name will change into Israel. And you have 12 sons, and they'll become a nation. But they'll enter into captivity in Egypt. For 400 years, they'll be in captivity. In due time, I, the Lord, I'll bring them out of captivity. God was talking to Abraham, telling him what will happen to his descendants. And so when the Israel were in captivity, when the time came for God to deliver them, he did not deliver them because of their good acts, not righteous state, but he delivered them because of grace. When God was delivering them, there were witches among them, but God overlooked it. Exodus 22 verse 18. The Bible said, do not allow a witch to live. It means that after he delivered them, there were witches among them. But he delivered them anyway, shout the grace of God. There were necromancers. People were among them who were visiting malams, doing charms. They are in church. They are looking at me. But God is still delivering them. The grace. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. It means that there were witches among them. But he delivered them anyway. Oh my God. The grace of God is powerful. And I pray that grace will work for you. May that grace work for you. May that grace overlook every shortcoming in your life and help you in this season. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Is somebody hearing me at all? He said, do not allow a witch to live. This thing called the law was the demand of the Israelites. God never planned that any of us will walk under the law. Because we're thinking that Israelites felt that they don't need a relationship with God anymore. Because when you relate to God as your father, you're having a relationship with God. But they say we need somebody that we can serve as a God. It becomes transactional. The same God you and I serve, some people serve him as a father. You know, he's a father because there is a relationship. Am I communicating? He's a God when there is no relationship. So it's give or take. So they told Moses that, Moses, listen, this thing that you come and stand here and say, the Lord said, give us a law. Give us laws that will follow.
Every day if we don't hear from you, then it looks like we must wait for you. You have too much power. We need laws like the way other nations have laws. How they serve their God, the God of Molech, the God of Nogoko. How they follow certain rules in order to serve the God. Give us laws and stop this. And the Lord said, what if you die? So they neglected grace. And they said, we want law. That was where the problem of mankind started. Because once you say you follow law, God will also take off the spectacle of relationship and deal with you like the way the law is. You will think that there are no law enforcement agents in Ghana until you cross a certain line. Then you see men in black chasing you. Those guys, they're like monitoring spirits. They will follow. But when you are walking in town, unless you come around their area before you see them. But when you cross a certain line, so when they cross certain line, they have strict punishment. That's not how God, planned for it. That's how they came in the dispensation of the law. So in the day that Moses would go for the law, aside the Ten Commandments, there were 620 laws they must follow. Brother, they said that's what they want to say. No, we don't want that father. He said, and the law said, and your father said, the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said, follow me, obey me. We don't want those things. We want write it down. Let's all sign agreement. When Moses was taking the law from God, God spoke to Moses and said, go down. The people are defiling themselves. Moses, what are you talking about? He said, no. Moses, go down. By the time Moses will go down, the first law that was on the tablets, they have already broken the first law. The first law that was on the tablets, do not serve any other God before me. The first law, by the time Moses will come down from the mountain, they have already done a golden calf and they are all naked and they are jumping to it. And like this, Genesis chapter 32. You see, once you bring the law, there's a school I know in Ghana, an SSU that I know in Ghana. When you say it's a boys' school, the day the headmaster will come and say, nobody should urinate here again behind my house. When the boys feel wee-wee, they will leave at Ashanti region. Keep the wee-wee till they come there and wee-wee. Law rather puts people in bondage. I'm going to show you that the grace of God I'm talking about is not supposed to empower you to sin, but it frees you from the bondage of sin. Snow skaters, they call it. They've realized that at times people were dying when they are skating on snow. Very soon you go to a country where snow falls. When you shout him, it will help you. Snow skaters, they give them instruction. Look at the tree, so that you don't hit the tree. With that instruction, they saw that there were many casualties. God wanted to say, look at the tree. They are looking out for a tree. And in attempt to dodge it, they rather hit it. In the day you learn how to ride a bicycle. So what's the gutter? Or you see that you are falling into the gutter and you can't help yourself. But in the day they change the instruction, keep your eye on the road. There were fewer casualties. I am pointing you to grace. I'm not pointing you to the law. Give the Lord a clap of hands. So the Bible said, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together. That's why when you are advising your children, don't join bad company. Don't go and follow bad company. When they go, they are looking for bad company. It looks like the whole school is filled with bad boys. Because that is what is ringing in their mind. The Bible said, when Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together and pushed Aaron. That we don't know what has become of Moses. Made for us a God. We were all in Egypt. We saw the many gods they have. And Aaron said, okay, remove your earrings. He melted it. They have golden calf. Then they all went naked. Yay. Verse 6. They said very blasphemous things. Okay, verse 8. I'm going to show you something. They have made themselves a molded calf and worship it and sacrifice to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Moses did not come down with the law, but they broke law number one. And because of this, thousands started dying.
thousands started dying. Because in the day of the law, people don't believe in God anymore. When you tell people, you know, when you come to church, make sure you don't wear short thing, you don't wear nothing. We tell you that when you are even a smoker, come. When you smoke, come. A guy came here. He's in church today. He's a chain smoker. He smoked, they admitted him to the hospital. It's not a small smoking song. We closed some church. He came to me and said, "Pastor, I have an addiction." That day I did not mention we in the sermon. But somewhere, somehow, grace found him. He said, "I have addiction." He said, "Pastor, I smoke." I prayed for him. The following week, he came and said, "Pastor, I don't have the desire anymore." What are you talking about? We closed from church. A guy came to me and said, "Pastor, a woman comes to sleep with me every night." Suppose when the woman comes, she just comes straight. She comes on top. I prayed for him. He came the following Sunday and said, "Pastor, the woman came again. But this time she asked me, why do you want to leave me?" I did not talk about people sleeping with you in your dream. When grace found him, he realized that this is time for liberation. I pray for you. You are breaking free from poverty. You are breaking free from shame. Every diabolic covenant that's become darkness of retrogression. Anytime you take one step forward, you take three steps back. Let that demonic covenant break. In the name of Jesus, come and shout amen like thunder. Shout amen like thunder. I see freedom coming to you today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And a lot of these guys, they died in the wilderness. They died. And the Bible said, the younger generation, Joshua dance, those who left Egypt did not enter into the promised land. Even the man who was leading them, who is Moses, they did. Moses didn't enter the promised land. He saw sin, law, sin, sin. He saw sin. One day, when God used him to bring out water, instead of him to say, "This is by the grace of God," say, "See, I've given you water." Lord said, "Hey, sir, okay, Moses, you don't enter the promised land. You, your spirit is corrupted. When I use you, you take the glory." "Moses, I've not told you, I don't share my glory with any man. If I lift you up and you say you are the one, don't say you are joking." You will not enter. In fact, let's start from Aaron. Aaron was the one who did the golden calf. He's not dead. Take him to the mountain, remove his priest's garment. The Bible said when the priesthood garment was removed, Aaron died on the spot. The reason he was not dying was because he cannot die in the office. Hello? That's like when you hear a man of God collapse at the altar and dies. Brothers, it's scary. It's what? It's scary. Moses said, "See, I've given you water." Moses prayed that, no. "I've suffered with these people. How can I serve you all this? Only one mistake." The Lord says, "Too much of a mistake. You will not enter." "Okay, Moses, you know what I'll do for you? You climb a mountain and look. And when you look, you see Canaan. But those your feet will never enter." The guy's grace expired. The Lord sent me to tell you, even if your grace has expired, there is a refreshing, the release of fresh grace upon your prophetic destiny. Receive that impartation today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare you will not only see it from afar, but your legs will carry you into it. I say your legs will carry you into it. Come on, shout amen to the preaching of God's word. Hallelujah. So Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19. And the Bible says, so we see that they could not enter. Give it to us from verse 18. It's talking about the Israelite entering into the promised land. And to whom did he swear that they will not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey. Verse 19 explained. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. In the day that grace will work for you,
It is your belief in God. God said, believe me. And it's enough factor for me to show your grace. Love me. Love me. Stop using things to cover up for your mistakes. You are trying too hard. Love me. Believe me. Believe that things are difficult, but believe me that I'll lift you from them all. And the Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers you from them all. You may be falling 7 times, the righteous will fall 7 times, but he will rise again. Believe that I'll make you rise again. Once you believe me, you will not only see the promised land, but you will enter. Clap your hands to God's word. Shout, I believe God. Tap your neighbor and say, stop thinking God. Rather believe him. John chapter 1, 16 to 17. John chapter 1, 16 to 17. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Is somebody there at all? Grace and truth came through Jesus. Hallelujah. The law is about man's effort, but grace is about the works of God through a man. The law is about what? Man's effort. But the grace of God is when the workings of God is showing through a man. There are people who say, oh, hard work pays. Hard work. I'm a believer of hard work, but I believe more in the grace of God. You can be working like a donkey. You die like a fowl. Your funeral, the people you call friends, when you are in heaven and you are watching the people that come to you, say, hey, so Kwesi didn't come. This guy is very ungrateful. Grace is what came through Jesus. Are you in the grace dispensation or you are in the law dispensation? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 9 to 11. We are able to do the things we do by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 9 to 11. Verse 9 says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. If there's anybody that must be called an apostle, it's not Saul who became Paul. God, brother, he persecuted the church. He afflicted people. If there's somebody who will become a financial pillar, it should not be you. Because the way you spoke about pastors, the church, the way you spoke about the church. Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. I destroyed more than I built in my life. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. I see the grace of God about to change your story. But I labored more abundantly than they, or yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I see the grace of God taking you from nowhere into somewhere in the name of Jesus. I see the grace of God taking you from nowhere to somewhere in the name of Jesus. He said, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. The grace of God is about to wipe away your past life. It's about to give you a clean sheet, a new start in the name of the Lord Jesus. The grace of God is about to polish you up in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, shout yes. Come on, shout yes. You know, there are people who have a spirit of entitlement that, oh God, the many things I have done for you, you are seeing me suffer like this. Sister, the things we do them by the grace of God. You are able to do something for God. You, greedy you, your middle name is greed, and you're able to do something for God, and you are talking about it. It's a spirit of entitlement. That is the Lord speaking. But whatever thing we do for God, we do it by the grace of God. Whatever thing that comes into our hands, we do it by the grace of God. Is somebody hearing me at all? I see grace about to impart things into your life. In the name of Jesus. In this dispensation of the law, in the dispensation of grace, God gives us things because we love him and also loves us. Grace does not empower sin, but grace frees you from sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. Grace does not empower sin. Grace frees you from sin. My God. Oh my God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? The thing about grace is that it does not empower sin in your life, but it frees you from sin. The day you embrace the grace of God, your appetite for sin dies. You grow every day dealing with sin successfully. Once you embrace the grace, you embrace Jesus, you embrace the gift of God and the power of God, and then you don't struggle not to live. You don't struggle to live in sin. You struggle to be free from the power of sin. The day you embrace grace, you embrace a new appetite. Can I talk to you? You embrace what? A new appetite. That's why when you are going, pastor is not there, nobody is there, but something strikes in your heart. I've come too far. We don't go like that. Then you yourself, you start realigning, because grace is at work in you. Can I tell you something? Grace is the nature of God in the inside of us. In the Old Testament, they have the presence, but they don't have the nature of God. We have the presence and the nature. What does nature mean? Nature is the container that is able to contain God. In the Old Testament, when God will use them, he comes upon them. After using them, he lives again. But in our time, when we embrace the grace of God, there is a container that came in us, and it is full of God. Are you hearing me at all? That is how we are able to overcome things that nobody is able to overcome. We are able to stop certain family line of hardship and poverty and shame. We are able to cut it off. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Listen, it is in the nature of a pig to be dirty. But for a pig, apply makeup. Sew white dress. Give it to the pig. When it is leaving you, it's looking for mud. It's looking for dirt. Because it is what? In its nature. When God wanted to change the nature of King Nebu, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's a king. But God wanted to show him that power past power. A voice came and said, from today, your heart as a king has been taken away from you. You have been given the heart of an animal. The guy left his throne, entered into the bush. So, king, where are you going? He's not manning anybody. Entered the bush 7 years. Why? His nature has been exchanged. Are you there with me? So if you want the pig not to bath the mud, you can just change the heart. When you embrace the grace of God, you see, sin is a nature. It can drive you like the way a horse, you are riding a horse. See, the day you embrace the grace of God, your nature changed. It changed. That is why many people will head towards doom, but you cannot end up in doom. God, it is not in your nature to be in the place of doom. Are you hearing me at all? When men say there's a casting now, they say you are proud. You are not proud. It is your nature. It is your nature to identify with greatness, not sorrow. It's in the nature. You see, no matter how the eagle prays not to soar, it will not work. It will not work because its nature is that once it flips its wing or flap its wing, depending on the school you have attended, once it flaps its wing, it must go higher. It is in its nature. Hello? The lion is not pride that there will be inflation in the forest. The lion will never eat grass because it is not its nature to look for where grass is greener. Its nature is that it knows where the sumptuous meal is. A grass cutter will be around. He knows how to perceive it. That's its nature. I'm just saying the grace of God will position you where you cannot fail. Receive the grace of God. Receive the grace of God. Receive the grace of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. The one that must not be fought in this season is you. Because the more they fight you, the more you prosper. The more they fight you, the more you spread your wings. The more they fight you, the more you take new territories. I prophesy from the front to the back. I prophesy from this altar that the nature of God will be found in the inside of you. Come on, shout them like thunder. Come on, shout them like thunder. Something is entering in the inside of you. It is the nature of God. You, your head will not be bowed in shame. You, because in your name is grace, you will not fall into the hands of your enemies. Because in your nature, you are superior to your enemies. I release the grace of God over your business. I release the grace of God over your prophetic destiny. I release the grace of God over your entire generation. Receive grace to prosper. Receive grace to stand out. Receive grace to move forward. Receive grace to shine in this season. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout them like thunder and give the Lord praise in the house this day. Hallelujah. When you receive grace of God, the totality of the gift of God, the absoluteness of the gift of God is in Jesus. Once you have Jesus, brother, you have everything. If you don't understand, let me explain it to you. When you have Jesus, you have what? You have everything. Jesus, I like spiritual tokens. I like anointing oil. I like communion wine. I like when God directs us, we'll use salt. It's only palm oil we've not used. I believe in spiritual direction by people of God. Those things are nonsense when Jesus is not at the center. If Jesus is not at the center, it will not work. You are just wasting salt. You are just wasting oil. But when Jesus is at the center, you have everything. You apply any token and it will work. You will not miss it. I pray for somebody here in the sound of my voice. In this season, you will not shadow box. Anything you touch is an increase in profit. Come on, shout amen like thunder. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that through him will become the righteousness of God. When you have Jesus, you have righteousness. I'm not talking about your yesterday fornication at all. I'm saying when you have Jesus, you have everything. I'm talking about grace. I'm not talking about law. Viens ici. Come closer. Let me tell you something. The grace of God is upon your life. Is somebody hearing me at all? For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. My God. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Maybe you don't like righteousness. You already have it. So you don't want it anymore. Now this is riches. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake. When you are reading the Bible, personalize it. Personalize. Oh, my Bible has suffered. I have canceled things. I have rewritten things. I have personalized the word of God in my life. Is somebody hearing me at all? The Bible, oh my God, because of grace, business will not die in our hands. I say nothing will die in our hands. Because of the grace of God, anything we touch, it must work. I speak it to the heavens for a performance in your life. Anything you touch from today, I see it working. I see it doing well. I see it working. I see it doing well. Receive the fire. Yes. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake. I can't read this one for you. I'm reading it for myself. Maybe you want to read that part for your own self. Yet for my sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Do you know how people see how rich I am? Because I don't see myself that way. Ha! The fourth August program. I told you, a pastor in ICGC called me and said, man of God, you are very rich. Oh. I said, of course. He said, you are bringing Apostle Dr. Joshua Talena. Hey! You have money. I just share. I'm very rich. In fact, I have lost count of how much I have. Indeed, I don't know how much I have. I am very, 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 very rich. Because these things don't happen to poor people. What are you talking about? There are some things they don't happen to poor people. When they happen to you, people will call you and tell you, even if you've forgotten you are rich, they tell you, oh boy, you are rich. Say, you are loaded. I have too much money. I was watching an interview of Mo Ibrahim. He was interviewing Dangote. Then somewhere in the interview, he said, please, can I see your wallet? That's Dangote. I said, please, can I see your wallet? He said, wallet? So he was trying to connect to the question. Wallet is difficult for his mind to come down to the wallet level. I said, oh boy. He said, I didn't realize for a very long time I don't use wallet. But the guy himself is money, he's money-fied. See, I didn't realize until you asked. For a very long time, I don't use wallet. You are walking in that grace. I said, you are walking in that grace. You are walking in that grace. In the name of Jesus. I feel like saying something. You see, if you want to put the grace of God at work, start moving. Start what? God said, move forward. He said, there's a resting. He said, move. Because if you don't move, the water will not part into two. Grace is when you take a step of faith. I told you, I met a man in Kpando. He's 80 years old. And then the landlord sacked him from his house. Then he called a guy who came to stay with him. And God opened a door for the guy. For the guy to travel to the United States of America. So he called him again. His son, he doesn't have a child of his own. He and his wife, they don't have children of their own. But he took care of someone's son. And the door opened for the guy to travel outside. So his rent was due. And the landlord is harassing him. It was difficult for him to call the guy. Because it looks like every now and then he's calling the guy. So this time around he called the guy and said, son, my rent is due. Then he said, daddy, don't you think we should build you a house? The man said, He said, no, let's build you a house. He said, then the man said, he has a land, but the land is at the outskirts of Pando. It's inside. You know, outskirts lands are cheaper than. Now you can pay in installments because there's no pressure. The demand for it is very low. So he said he wants to sell that plot of land. Then he will add money to it and buy a half plot of land. Is that okay? So he spoke to a guy who is into lands in Pando. So the guy said, old man, follow me. I want to show you something. So they went to a piece of land. And then it's a quarter plot of land. So he said, how much? And the land dealer mentioned the amount. And the old man, of course, his strength is very little. Then you know what the land dealer said? I did not bring you here for you to pay for the land. If you like it, take it. He said, listen, he said he almost worshipped the land dealer. Because in his wildest imagination, he didn't know that. Like when he moves, as I'm talking to you, 4-bedroom house is sitting on the land. So he took me to the back of the house because he didn't want the wife to hear that. Maybe the wife has warned him that you every day, anyone who comes to this house, you want to be sharing this story. So he told me the story and then we came back to his room. When we came back, he said, I want to pray for you. And I knelt down. He's not a pastor. But when my ear heard grace, Yego Magida, I want to tap him. Are you hearing my point? Because if you don't have it, someone has it. And his hair is gray. 80 years. He's not using Puma. He said, I want to pray for you. And then I said, oh, get a man of God. I said, daddy, please. Just say this prayer. No matter the prayer he was saying, I'm like, I take land for free. I'm changing it. I take it for free. I asked for long life. I have it already because it's in my family. But land for free, I take it. I take land for free. No matter what he's saying, what I'm hearing is land for free. Because once my eyes have seen it, my legs have been there. I must partake of that blessing. I shift that blessing into your life. I say, I shift that blessing into your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, shout yes. He could have been sitting and be murmuring and be complaining that 80 years have come. I've done good for many people. I've served God. He moved. You want to see the grace of God at work? Move. Do what?
Don't be afraid. When you go to one place and it looks like the door is shut, mama, move. There's a back door. Some way, somehow, enter the house. If the back door is locked, there are windows. Shift it. Enter. Move. Move until they tell you that don't come to this house again. But I sense in my spirit that when you move by grace, you shall be honored by grace. I say you shall be honored. Your faith will be honored. Come on, shout yes. What am I to do? I'm to rely on the fresh work of Jesus. I have to thank him for the love towards me, his grace towards him, me, and I'll see him do wonders without number in my life. Is somebody hearing me at all? Anytime you wake up in the morning, lift up your hands and say, Father, I thank you for the beautiful marriage. I thank you for the success in my business. I thank you that when I count my sorrows, they are no more. When I count my blessings, they are overflow. I thank you for your grace in my life. Is somebody hearing me at all? That must be your posture. Grace makes you a new creature in God. Not a renovation, but a new creature. Glory be to God. How to attain grace, and then we close. Number one, I've showed you many things, but I want to highlight these three, four things. Number one is by humility. Humility. James chapter 4 verse 6. When you are humble, people see it. When you are proud, they don't talk about it. You yourself, whether you are humble or not, you know. And Pastor said, can you stand to your feet? Oh, Pastor, I'm seated. You can't see it, but in my head, I'm seated. The Bible said, grace only comes to those who are humble. If you don't have it, pray about it before you leave this room. Have a sense of humility. Let God know that you can't figure it all. For he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resist the proud, but gives grace. Grace is an inheritance of the humble. You don't have to pray. Be humble. Surrender to a superior power who is God. Serve God. Your service to God. Verse number 7. It's a proof that you are humble. That thing that you use God to play, like you are dating 5 girls. Like you are dating 7 men, the way you do them, no, you have added God to it. Hey, he will wait for you at a junction. He will prove to you that you and him, you are not one. Because he alone can manage, you can't manage 7 people at the same time. Therefore, submit to God. Go back to verse 6. He was showing us how to be humble. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. The devil will not resist you. Witches, they don't resist. They don't fight proud people. Because they see you as someone who is doing internship for their company. God, once you are proud, nobody will fight you. God himself said, I will resist you. King Nebu did it. I was talking to my brother. I think I said this thing over and over again. I was talking to my brother and I said, when I read the story of King Nebu, fear enters my heart. I asked him, bro, have you seen gold before? He said, no. Even on TV, have you seen it before? No. When gold is on the ground, can you identify that this is gold? He said, no. I said, King Nebu, he had gold. He used it for gold, an image, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. That man stood on top of his building, looked at the whole Babylon, and said, look at Babylon that I've been able to build with my hands. The Bible said, when the words were still in his mouth, he heard the voice of an angel that today, King Nebu, your kingdom has come to an end. You did not give praise to God. And they gave him the heart of an animal. He went to the bush 7 years to purge his heart. They quarantined him with monkey, quarantined him with squirrel. In fact, lizard became his friend to purge pride out of his heart. He was quarantined. When COVID came, some people were entering to certain countries. They quarantined them. You will not see your family. Brother, you may have money like fish. You will not see them. You will be here until we test you that COVID is no longer in your... There are people in life and God has quarantined them. That no matter your plans, you are moving nowhere until an angel will test you and say, oh, it's left with 0.5% of pride. Then they say, wait, let it finish first. Because people who are proud, when they rule over people, they kill them.
people who are proud.
Hello? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. And when God is resisting you, every other thing people are doing and they are succeeding, you alone, you do it and you not succeed. You also said that, Bonnie Ben, you have prayed the yellow prayer, the red one. You've joined Alpha Hour, Beta Hour, Gamma Hour. You've joined all. You hear testimony, you ask yourself whether they've planned it together. God is resisting you. Because those people can move into that dimension because of grace. It's not always prayer. So that humility means grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How does he do it? Verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Surrender, lift up your two hands and say, I'm sorry. I can't figure it out from this point going forward. I put aside my psychology class, the Venn diagram I study, I surrender. Because of law of diminishing returns, I say I will not serve you. Father, I surrender. You see, when people are in battle, and the way the bullets are flying, they realize that they cannot continue, else they will die. They wave white flag. When they wave the white flag, it means we are sorry. we are sorry. We cannot continue from this point. There are many people that have many things that happen to certain people. God just withdrew his hand to resist them. So when they hold this, it when collapse, when saying that until you submit to me, I'll resist you. Submit, therefore, submit to God. When you do that, when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. The devil will never flee from you when you are proud. I told you that you are doing internship in his department of science and technology. But when you submit to God, that is so you say, come out in the name of Jesus. He doesn't want to go. But behind you is the Ogbonana, the God of all things, the Father of all spirits, is standing behind. Because he doesn't want to receive the rebuke of the Lord. So once you speak, somebody, so you attract a grace on the platform of humility. Number two, way of getting access to grace. Are you still there? Your approach to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Your approach. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. When you have need, the Lord said, come to me. Always come to the throne of grace. Because what comes up from the throne of grace is mercy and then the grace of God. Why do we have to come to church? When you have DSTV, when you have all the Christian TV channels, right? You have Bible. In fact, you have all the renditions, TLB. You have the Living Bible, the New Living Translation, Message Bible, Amplify, RS. Even the one that they are writing right now, they've sent you. They've sent you the first copy. Why do you have to come to church? Because when you come, my sister, you will find mercy. The other side of mercy is judgment. So when you are not judged, you are being shown mercy. When you look at us, men of God, do you think we don't have flaws? We have it all. The day a man of God matter become boyer, mercy is finished. His mercy has expired. Mercy! The flip side is judgment. Then you find grace. The ability of God in your limitation. I thought someone was clapping at the back. Lift up your right hand. Grace is locating you. The help you need, you will not talk to 50 people. Amen. One person is taking all your burdens. Shout, I receive grace. Shout, I receive grace. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the preaching of God's word. Hallelujah. How do you think we do it? We do it by grace. It's like, hey, it's not good preaching. No. When we bought this land, some people went on Facebook to see the pictures of the church members one after the other. Say, hey, then there are millionaires in this church. It's true. It's true. Amen. The third one, faith. Hebrews 3:19. We read it. Said they could not enter because of their unbelief. Hebrews 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You cannot enter. Before you enter into a new level, you must see yourself there. Did you hear that? You must see yourself where? There. A door has opened for me to preach in a country. And then the man of God was asking me, I recommended a guy there. He said, man of God, what do you think? I want to bring him again. I was like, I have become endorser. I think I must be an agent for people who want to travel. Pastors who want to preach. Maybe an added business, you know. I felt powerful. Got anything I say, the man will do that. Any door you want to enter, you must see yourself there first. See yourself as the manager of your company. And see yourself as you are seated, your executive secretary just walking. That the oil and gas business people that you want to take contract for, they have come to the office. If you don't see it, it will not come to pass. If you don't see it, it don't come to pass. You must devote time in a day and see it. God said to Abraham, after Lot had left, Lot, the meaning of Lot is what? Veil. There are some people, when they are in your life, you don't see far. Because when they call you, all the things they talk about doesn't make you see into the future. But in the day Lot left, God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes and see. As far as you can see, I'll give it to you. Are you there with me? You must see it with the eye of faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Because when you look at things with your eyes, 7 cities does not make one to get married. We don't plan with 7 cities. Pastor Andy is here. In the day he was going to get married, he has some money in his bank account. He came to me at the office. He said, this is the money I have. I told him that he'll get married and he will not touch that money. Did it happen or it did not happen? He did not touch the money that he said is not enough. The guy got married, did reception, and that money he did not touch it. All I spoke was faith, and his spirit caught it. His wife is here. His wife is another witness. When I spoke faith, he caught it. He started working with it. Doors started opening left, right, center. When you don't move, you don't see it. When you don't close these eyes and open the eye of your spirit, you will not see it. Faith, they could not enter because of sin. Is that what is here? They could not enter because of sin. Because they are not holy and godliness. Those things don't matter. What matters is whether you believe in God or not. And as you believe in God, any idea you have, any dream you have had, anything your spirit has seen, I see you entering into it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to God. The last one, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Thank you, Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It's your confession. Your confession releases the grace of God. What do you confess? And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore speak your confession. What do you declare? Every time man of God says something on my life, say something, what have you declared? What have you? You must speak to yourself first. The greatest man of God under the sun is your own tongue. Hello? The greatest prophet walking under the sun, the greatest apostle, is what? Your tongue. Your tongue is not only for ice cream. It can shift your destiny. It can do what? It can shift your destiny, your tongue. For the power of life and death lies on the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruits thereof. If you like, we can use it for experiment. Say, it's not easy, it's not easy. Hey, this economy is not easy. Somebody has 1 million in his room. Yay, Radime, whoa, Radime, whoa. Radime, it's not easy, oh. It's not easy, oh. It's not easy, oh. Hey, you see that your Monday will be tight. As if Tuesday will be okay. Tuesday is King Agokoli. And as for Thursday, King Herod himself and Jezebel. That's the idea. You see that the more you go, the more things are difficult. Whatever thing you say, Numbers 14:28. Whatever thing I hear you say, I the Lord, I'll do it. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing. Finish it. Bow down your heads. Say, Father, be gracious to me. Be gracious to me. Be gracious to me. I come with all my heart believing you. Kadi antolova sendekotas. Lo shere indalabaria katayas. Likoma sende hasutaya. We pray. We pray, Lord. Be gracious to this house. Be gracious to your people. Open your mouth and pray.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you have been blessed, uplifted, and transformed by the Word of God. Kindly subscribe to our podcast and as well follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Peacekeepers Assembly and on Twitter at Peacekeepers International for more updates. Or call our office on 054-6764-890. God bless you.